Harvest New Beginnings Church is located in Oswego, Illinois. We exist for God's glory alone, encouraging each other to have a deep love for God and a sincere love for people. This message is brought to you by Pastor Scott Poling.
Hey, don't you love summer storms? Anybody else love summer storms? I love summer storms. All of a sudden, these summer storms just kind of blow in out of nowhere. They weren't on the radar anywhere. And you got these big thunderheads, you know, form, and the crackle of the lightning and thunder. And then there's the torrential downpour. And then I love it when the temperature drops like 20 degrees afterward. Yeah, that's so nice. And it's just an amazing experience, you know, and this torrential downpour and everything else. Summer storms are awesome. Life storms are awful. It wasn't on the radar. You never saw it coming. You weren't ready for what just took place in your life. You know, running around your yard, picking up upended patio furniture is one thing. Scrambling around in this life, trying to pick up the pieces when your life has been upended, is a whole nother thing. How do you handle those storms? How do you handle those storms of life? For some of you, you're in the middle of a storm right now, and you just don't know what to do. For some of you, you're exhausted. You're mentally exhausted. You're physically exhausted, and you're tired of this storm, and you just want it to end, and it doesn't look like there's any end in sight. For others, I got news for you. This week, you're going to be entering into a storm. Thanks a lot, Pastor Scott. It's the truth. It might happen today. It might happen tomorrow. It's going to happen. Every single one of us goes through storms in this life. The question is, how do we handle them, and what's the right way to handle them? And that's what we're going to learn this morning, facing the storms of life. So if that's you at home, if that's you right here, by the way, share this with somebody right now and encourage them, because they're going to learn how to handle the storms of life. And we're going to do this in the book of John. So if you have your Bibles at home or if you have your Bibles here, I want you to turn to the book of John. And I'm a preacher that preached for the most part through books of the Bible. From time to time, we take a break. We're in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, we've titled this Glory Among Us, as we just study the life of Jesus. There's no better person to look at and learn from than Jesus. John chapter 6, starting in verse 16. Go ahead and just follow me along as I read in John chapter 6, starting in verse 16. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. After getting into a boat, they started to cross the sea to Capernaum. That's their home base of operation on the other side of the Galilee. It had already become dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them, and the sea began to be stirred up because of a strong wind was blowing. Then when they had rowed about 3 to 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, drawing near to the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid. It is I. Do not be afraid." So they were willing to receive him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. What do we learn about facing the storms of life? Number one is this: expect them. Expect them. They're part of God's plan. Just like you and I expect summer storms to blow in from time to time, you and I should be expecting storms to blow into our life from time to time. It should not surprise us when difficulties happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of what. When the storms are going to happen. And they're going to vary. The storms that blow into my life and the storms that blow into your life, they're going to vary in length. They're going to vary in intensity or severity. They're going to vary in different ways, but they are going to blow into our life. And of all things, God actually sends his disciples into this storm. I want you to understand something. It's part of God's plan for God to send you into storms from time to time. We're told in John chapter 6 that they had gone down, the disciples, down to the sea. But Matthew's account makes a little bit more clear in Matthew chapter 14. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him. So the storm was a part of Jesus' plan. Jesus knows what's going to happen to them. Jesus knows the exhaustion physically they're going to face. Jesus knows the fear they're going to encounter the struggle they're going to go through, and he purposely sends them into it anyway. This was Jesus' idea, and this was Jesus' command. And the same thing is true with storms in your life and my life. He sees the struggle you're going to face, and he sends you into it. He sees the exhaustion. He knows the fear that you have. And yet he has commanded in his sovereignty to have this take place in your life. For some of you, the last few months have been nothing but a storm. You've lost your job. You've had to change jobs. You've had to make a move. A relationship has ended. It's a very confusing time. Things are being upended, not sure what's going to take place. You know what? Sometimes during those times when our worlds are rocked, we want to blame other people. They treated me badly, they treated me unfair, and I can't believe they did this. And I want you to stop right there, because if you truly believe in an all-powerful God that is sovereign, there's no one you should blame but who? God. And we know that's not right. I can't blame God. Well, God in his sovereignty allowed this storm to happen in your life, and God is in control, and this storm is a part of his plan. So stop getting so angry and so bitter and so bent out of shape at other people for what they did, and start trusting in the sovereignty of your God who sent you into that storm with him full well knowing what was going to take place. And by the way, if you struggle with that, I encourage you to read the book of Job. There is no man who faced more storms on this earth in such severity like Job did. And he was the most righteous man on the earth. And so I encourage you to look at the sovereignty of God and read about Job. Now, I want you to understand something. When God sends us in the storms, did you realize he doesn't ask us if our calendar is open on that day? He doesn't ask us if we're ready. He doesn't go in a corner and say, okay, one, two, three, ready or not, here comes the storm. No, it's out of the blue, not on the radar, and there is a storm in our lives. That's what takes place. But why? Why did God send these disciples into this storm? Why does he send us in the storms? Now, I want you to notice something about the disciples. There was no sin in their life. Sometimes storms occur in our lives because of really bad decisions we've made. And honestly, we brought the storm on ourselves. Not with the disciples, and oftentimes not in our lives. Is it because of sin? Then why would God send them into the storm? There's at least three reasons that I see in Scripture. Here's the first one. I believe it was to protect them. I believe sometimes God sends us in the storms to protect us. What was he protecting the disciples from? He was protecting them from another storm. These crazy crowds and their frenzy. In verse 15 of John chapter 6, it talks about how they wanted to take Jesus forcibly and declare him king. He was removing the disciples from another storm by placing them in this storm. Sometimes God allows you to go through a storm because he's protecting you from other people and what they would have dragged you into. I believe there's another reason. I think that the other reason is to humble them. The disciples had just taken part in this incredible miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, and they were a part of that. They saw it happen and passing things around, and maybe they're feeling a little, you know, good about themselves there and how special they are. And then they're hearing the crowds talk about Jesus and he's king, and if he's king, hey, we're the right-hand men of Jesus, so we've got to be pretty special too. Nothing humbles us like going through a storm. Nothing reminds us how weak we really are, how much we really don't know, than going through a storm. So storms are healthy for me, and they're healthy for you, because they help us be humble and rely more on our God. And honestly, storms put you and I in our place, is what they do. I think another reason was to remind these disciples of a very important truth. It's a truth that's expressed in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. The mind of man plans his way. Oh, we got all these grandiose plans, what we're going to do, where we're going to go, what's going to take place. But it's the Lord who what? Directs his steps. For the disciples, this was just another boat ride across the Galilee. Half of them were fishermen. They'd taken thousands of trips across the sea. I mean, they were experts on the sea. They could do this in their sleep, so to speak. And so they just assumed this was another boat ride like other boat rides that they had taken. I think if there's anything 2020 has taught us is that none of us has 2020 vision when it comes to the future. And you and I just better stop assuming we know what's going to happen. And we've just got to be very careful with the plans that we are going to make. Isn't that what James chapter 4 teaches us, starting in verse 13? Listen to these very, very wise words that you and I need to take to heart. Come now, let's talk this over. Come now, you who say, well, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to such and such a city, and we're going to spend a year there, and we're going to engage in business, and we're going to make a profit. Come now, you who've got your business plans all laid out. I'm going to start this business, and I'm going to make this much money, and this is how I'm going to invest it, and I'm going to expand my business, and this is what I'm going to do with my money. Who in the world do you think you are? The passage goes on, and he says, I'll tell you who you are. You're just a vapor. You're a blip on the radar screen. You are not even guaranteed tomorrow. You who think you've got all these plans about tomorrow. You just appear for a little while, then you vanish away. Instead, okay, what should I say? Instead, this is what you should say. If the Lord wills, we will live. I love that. If God wants you to be alive tomorrow, he'll allow it. Because he may not. I may die tomorrow. You may die tomorrow. We may die today. If the Lord wills, okay, we'll live or also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is what? It's not just bad. It's just immature. He says it's evil. For you to leave God out of your plans is evil. So some of you have been evil. You don't even consult God. You don't even talk to God. You just decide what you're going to do with your business. And you decide what you're going to do with your family. And you just decide to live like God doesn't even exist in your life, Christian. And God calls it like he sees it, and he says it's evil. Because I am an all-powerful, sovereign, omniscient God, and I am real. And you need to stop treating me like I am not. So it's time to start spending some time with God and talking to him about the plans in your life. Now, he gives us some of the details of the disciple storm, which I think are applicational to you and I. He gives us the shape of the storm, and it's a bad storm. Why is it bad? Well, it's bad timing. We're told in John 16, 16, and 17, it's evening and it's already become dark. Who wants to be on a boat in the dark when a storm hits? Not me. Bad timing. Storms are always in bad timing. It's not like we wanted that to happen on that day at that hour. Another thing that makes it bad is they're leaderless. John 16, 17, Jesus hasn't come to them yet. So Jesus sent them ahead of him. Great. Where's the Lord when I most need him? Ever feel like that? God, where are you? I'm in the middle of this storm. Well, would it be nice if you'd have come along with me? Then they face rough weather. John 6, 18, the sea begins to be stirred up because of the strong wind that's blowing, and the winds are picking up, and the water is rough. And this is the Sea of Galilee. It's the lowest freshwater body of water on the earth. We typically think the Dead Sea, which is the lowest. That's all the minerals and salty. But the Sea of Galilee is the lowest freshwater. And it's a very rough, rough body of water. Why? Because the Sea of Galilee is surrounded by cliffs. This is low, cliffs are high, and it acts as a wind tunnel. I was in Israel this past October with a group from our church. I went over a couple days earlier, and I ran something called the Jesus Trail from Nazareth down to Capernaum, where they're going. And the trail takes you up and over Mount Arbel, which is the highest of all the cliffs, and then around the side. And so this is what it looks like on the side of the cliff at Mount Arbel. And so the wind just comes right through the area and stirs up the lake. So bad timing, leaderless, rough weather, physically exhausted. Matthew 14, 24. They're a long distance from the land. They're being battered by the waves, and the wind is contrary. So they're rowing against the wind, and the waves are crashing against the boat, and everything is against them. Is that not a storm? It's like everything is against me, God, and everyone is against me, God, and I don't know what to do. That is a storm. And they're in the middle of the sea and they're trapped. Mark chapter 6, another parallel passage, tells us they're out in the middle of the sea. See, here's the map. They shouldn't be out in the middle of the sea. They were cutting right across from the plains of Bethsaida over to Capernaum. It's about a 5 or 6 mile, you know, little boat ride. You just wonder how far off course they were blown with all of the wind and all of the waves. You wonder how long it's going to take. Isn't that a storm? Lord, how long am I going to be in this storm? When is this thing going to end? I don't see any end in sight. I feel like my life is completely blown off course. They're tired. John 6:16 tells us that they started rowing. They got in the boat when evening came. Evening in that day was when it got dark. That's between 6 and 9 p.m. Okay, so that's when they started rowing, between 6 and 9 p.m. Now, we're told in Matthew and Mark that Jesus shows up at the fourth watch. When is that? They started rowing between 6 and 9. The fourth watch is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So that means, worst case scenario, they've been rowing this boat since 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., 12 hours of rowing. Best case scenario, they've been rowing this boat from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m., 6 hours of rowing. This should typically take about an hour and a half to get across the lake. They potentially have been rowing upwards of 6 hours off course. And we're told they only went 3 or 4 miles, John 6:19. So, you've got bad timing, leaderless, rough weather, physically exhausted, and I believe they're emotionally exhausted. I believe they're besides themselves. I believe they're probably getting on each other's nerves. So why are you rowing that way? Start bailing. You're going the wrong direction. What is happening? They're frustrated. Isn't that a storm? We start getting on each other's nerves. Husbands and wives start going at it. Children and parents start going at it. Start getting on each other's nerves. They are so frustrated with life right now. They're way off course, 6 hours of rowing. Storms throw everything off. They upend our lives. They change everything. All of a sudden, we got to change plans, all the planning that we had. All of a sudden, we've got to cancel plans, all the time and effort and money that we've invested. And they're frightened. They're physically exhausted. They're emotionally exhausted. It was the famed football coach, Vince Lombardi. He coached some team north of here, but anyway. He said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. And I think they're scared to death. They're physically tired. They're emotionally tired. Which brings us to the next point. When we face these storms of life, we've got to expect them. They're part of God's plan. Secondly, take courage in them. God hasn't forgotten you. Say that with me. Take courage in them. God hasn't forgotten you. Would you say that to the person next to you? Take courage in the storm. God hasn't forgotten you. Storms are scary. Sometimes we feel like we're all forgotten. Sometimes we feel like nobody's in this with me. I'm all alone and I feel abandoned. More scary, though, than the wind and the waves was who the disciples saw coming out of the dark, heading straight for them, and walking on the waves of the water. John 6:19, they've rowed 3 to 4 miles, and they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing near to the boat, and they're frightened. This kind of just blows me away. 12 guys rowing a boat, no progress. One man walking, no problem. Against the wind, no problem. In a storm, no problem. On the water, no problem. Without a boat, no problem. The response of the disciples, they're scared to death. Matthew 14:26 tells us, they're terrified. It's a ghost. They're crying out in fear. Mark 6, it's a ghost. They're crying out. They saw him. They're terrified. And the truth is, there's no reason for them to be terrified at all. And the truth is, there is no reason for you to be terrified in your storm at all. As a matter of fact, they should be grateful. As a matter of fact, you and I should be grateful. There's no reason for you to be afraid right now in whatever storm you're facing. If there is a God and He is real, there is no reason to fear. There's every reason to be thankful and grateful. See, Jesus' time with the Father was over. Jesus had sent the crowds away. Jesus had sent the disciples away. Jesus had gone up to the mountain to pray and to have a time in solitude alone. And I want you to understand, Jesus never forgot about the disciples. It wasn't like he was in prayer to the Father and said, "Oops, Dad, wait, I gotta go help these guys." No. I've done that with my own kids. Maybe your dads have done that. I've left the church here when the kids were younger and forgot they were in the nursery or in a class, and I get home and I walk in the door after Sunday services and Carla's like, "Well, where's Dawson? Where's Weston?" Oh, yeah, Scott, I got a text from the teacher. They're waiting for you to come back. Okay, I've made that mistake. Do you realize I've made that mistake with my own children? God does not make that mistake with his children. He never forgets you. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're facing. And he cares for you, okay? Please understand that. And he goes to them. He could have gone to bed. 3 a.m. possibly, 1 a.m. in the morning, who knows what time? He could have said, "Oh, they'll be fine." This was his plan all along, and this was his timing, and it was perfect. Jesus never forgets you in your storms. He cares for you. Here's a great reminder. It's found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, 5 and 6. "For he himself said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you.'" Will God ever abandon his child? Will God ever abandon you? No. That's why you can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid." He says you need to be able to confidently say that. God is my helper, I will not be afraid. He will not abandon me, he is my helper. He will not forsake me, he is my helper. I will not be afraid. You need to confidently say that. As a matter of fact, say it with me right now. The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. Say it again. The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. Psalm 46, 1 through 3 is another good reminder. Psalm 46 says this: "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble," a very present help in trouble. Some of you need to memorize Psalm 46, 1 through 3. "Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride." Selah means pause. I'm going to think on this. I have a God who is my present help, and I need not be afraid. Jesus calms them, and he encourages them. How does he do that? John 6:20. He says, "It is I. Do not be afraid." It is I. Do not be afraid. What he does is he reveals his identity. Now, it doesn't look like much. It's I. Well, yeah, of course it's you. We see you now. You're so close. No, the same words that he used in the original language, "it is I," are the same words throughout the book of John when he says, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am living water." Do you understand what he says? I am. I am your God, the creator of this sea. I am your God, the ruler of this sea. I am your God, the parter of seas. I am your God who walks on the sea. You have nothing to fear. And that's what some of you need to hear. I am. You have nothing to fear. I am your all-powerful creator God. I am everywhere present with you. I know everything that has taken place. I will never forsake you or abandon you. I am. That's what you need to hear. You need to hear the voice of your God. You need to hear who he is what you need to hear. And you need to stop listening to the voices of this world. You need to stop listening to your own feelings. I feel this way. I feel this way. Your feelings change with the wind. Start listening to your God. Not your fears, not your intrepidations, not your worries, not your concerns. Start listening to your God. Stop listening to other people crying out in fear. Oh, the world is falling. Stop it. Stop listening to the fake news. What's the fake news? It's a ghost. They couldn't have been farther from the truth. It is God in the flesh, the maker of all. You got to stop listening to fake news and start listening to your God. You know what that means? You need to open your Bibles. Some of you never read your Bibles. And so all you do is listen to your feelings. And all you do is listen to fearful people. And all you do is listen to fake news. Isn't it time that you start listening to your God? Isn't it time you crack open the scriptures? Isn't it time you start studying the Bible? Start digging into this. You want to understand how to deal with storms? Start listening to God, not your feelings, not fearful people, and certainly not fake news. They couldn't have been more wrong. It's a ghost. Now, these familiar words have been spoken over and over and over again to some of God's most spiritual people. 115 times in Scripture. Take courage. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Fear not. In the Old Testament, these words were spoken to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Hezekiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, incredible men of God who needed to hear, don't fear. You know what it tells me? I need to hear, don't fear at times. I get scared. You know what that tells me? You need to hear, don't fear at times because you get scared. In the New Testament, don't fear, fear not. Take courage. We've spoken to Peter, to James, to John, to Mary Magdalene, to Paul. Oh, and by the way, the disciples as a group, 7 times. They needed to hear it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And so do you and so do I. Stop listening to your feelings. Stop listening to fearful people. Stop listening to fake news. And start listening to your God and do not be afraid. It is I am. I see you. I care for you. I will help you. And I am never going to forsake you. Fear not. So when it comes to storms, you expect them. They're part of God's plan. And you take courage in them. God hasn't forgotten you. And thirdly, how do you handle the storms of life? You forget them. Yes, just forget the storm. Forget the storm is even there for a moment. And humbly trust, humbly focus on your Lord. You got to forget the storm. Forget all that you've been facing. Forget the waves of worry. Forget the people that have been battering you. Forget the water that you're taking on and you feel like you're sinking. Forget the storm that's raging around you, that's raging within you. And start focusing on Jesus Christ. Your Creator God who died on the cross for you, that's never going to forsake you. Start focusing on your Savior, the one who walks on water. Your all-powerful God in charge of everything. By the way, that's why it's so good to come together as a church. That's why it's so good to be with God's people in worship. That's why it's so good, because our focus changes and it's put on Him. And we forget about the storms. That's what we've done today. You've forgotten all about those problems, and you're focusing on your God, and you're singing His praise, and you're being reminded of His love, and you're hearing about His power, and we're studying His greatness. Forget about the storm. Focus on your God. John 6, it is I. Don't be afraid. So they're willing to receive him into the boat. So listen to the words of your Lord and allow him to draw closer to you. See, you've got to allow the Lord to get close to you. Some people during storms do just the opposite. They drift away from God. God wants this storm to draw you closer to him. Some of you listening online and on site, you've not been walking closely with your God during the storms. And he's got your attention. Now, from the outside, you look spiritual, you look religious. You've not been close to your God. And you've allowed these last 3-6 months to pull you away from your God when it should have been pulling you closer to your God. It's time you start getting close to your God. And you start allowing the storm to do what God designed it to do. To teach you humility and draw you close. You got to make the choice to trust him. Are you going to trust him in this storm? Because he says there's no need for you to do this storm alone. By the way, he obviously can handle storms pretty well, wouldn't you say? And so the closer you are to the God who sovereignly is in control and all-powerful, the better you'll be able to handle this storm. Didn't we just sing about that earlier? Even in the storms, I will what? I will follow you. Make that more than a song that you sing. Make that a way that you live your life. Even in the storm, I will follow you. And he's inviting himself to help the disciples. He's drawing close to them. And you can choose to be mad at what's happening in your life and afraid of what's happening in your life and worried about life, what's happening in your life and bitter at God because of what's happening in your life. Or you can say, Jesus, I need you in the boat. Because with Jesus in the boat, you can't sink. With Jesus in your life, you can't sink. And so you better get as close to Jesus as possible. And he comes to us and he says, I'm here. I'm here. So listen to him and invite him into the boat of your life. And in God's sovereignty, that's why some of you are here today, online or on site. Because it's time for you to draw close. You've had enough distancing from your God. And it is time to come close and walk with your Savior like you have not walked with him in a long time. And what a difference Jesus makes when he's in the boat. John 6:21. They were willing to receive him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. It's this miracle of immediacy. Now, this doesn't mean that every storm is immediately going to end, but every storm will eventually end. And with Jesus in the boat, we can sure weather storms a whole lot better. Amen. And he sees us through, and he sees us to the other side, and we reach land. And what an illustration of life. As you see 12 disciples in a boat, all of their self-effort getting them where? Nowhere. All of their expert experience as fishermen getting them where? Nowhere. Pulling and straining and bailing, getting them where? Nowhere. Isn't that just like you and me sometimes? All of our self-effort in this life and all of our expert wisdom and advice, and we don't seem to be going anywhere in our business. We don't seem to be going anywhere in our marriage. We don't seem to be going anywhere in our life. Oh, but we're working hard. We got all these plans. And we're so smart. Maybe the difference is Jesus needs to be in the boat. And you got to stop all of your self-effort and get on your knees and say, God, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I need you in my life. I need you close. And for some of you who are Christians, it's time to draw close again. For some watching online or on site, you've never come to faith in Jesus. And it's time to reach out to the one who puts us back together. who can save us from our sins, who will forgive us of all the wrongs that we've done. And so if that's you, I want to encourage you to reach out to the Lord today. There's a psalm, Psalm 107. Some believe John 6 is an allusion to this. Listen to these words in Psalm 107, verse 28. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. And he caused the storm to what? To be still. So that the waves of the sea were hushed, and then they were glad because they were quiet. So he guided them to their desired haven. Verse 31 and 32, what's the result? Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol him also in the congregation of his people and praise him at the seat of the elders. So the result of God answering prayer and seeing you through the storm should be your praise and your testimony to God's goodness. So don't hold it back when he sees you through that storm. He's the one who turns mourning into dancing. He gives beauty for ashes. He turns shame into glory, graves into gardens, bones into armies, seas into highways, and guess what? He's the only one that can. He's the only one that can. You know, after a summer storm goes by, one of the most fun things to do is to go outside and look in the sky, and what are you looking for? The rainbow. Because the storm is over, and you're reminded of the promises of God. I want you to understand, he will see you through this storm. And you are going to be able to look in the sky, and you are going to be able to give him praise, for his promises are sure. Amen. And that's how we face the storms of life. How? Same with me. Well, we got to start expecting them. They're part of God's perfect plan. And we've got to take courage in them because God hasn't forgotten us. He's not forgotten you. And we've got to forget them. Forget the storm. Just focus on the Lord. Humbly trust your Lord. And what I'd like you to do right now is just bow your head. And if you're a believer in the Lord, would you do that right now? Would you just express your trust to your God? God, I am going to trust you in this storm. Would you right now draw close to your God? Do not allow this storm to distance you from your God. He is right there. He will not forsake you. He will not abandon you. But you need to walk closer with your God right now. If you've not been doing that, will you confess that to him? And would you commit to your God to walk closer with him? To listen to his voice, not your feelings, not friends. Listen to God's word. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You may not be a believer in Jesus Christ. There is a God who is a miracle-working God who will forgive you of all your sins. That's why God became a man, to live among us, to die on a cross for us, to take all of our sin away, to put the pieces back together. You may say, Scott, that's me. I want God in my life. What do I do? In the humility of your heart right now, call out to him in faith. In the quietness of your heart, just use words like these. Lord Jesus, would you please save me from my sin? Please forgive me of all my sin. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for loving me that much. I place my faith in you to save me. There's no good deeds I could ever do to save me. Only you can save me. And so I repent of my sin. I turn from my sin. And I place my faith in you alone. Please forgive me. Please save me. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you've been prompted by this message and are in need of a new beginning, or would like more information about Harvest New Beginnings, visit @harvest.church.